We're in a series titled The Bait of Satan. Today is part three. It's our final message. And over the past couple weeks, we learned that the bait of Satan is something called offendedness. And offendedness, we've learned, is the gap when you expect the performance of a person to be up here, and it comes in down here, and there's a gap. And this gap can create offendedness in our heart. It can happen in your home with family. It can happen with friends. It can happen in many different directions. But offendedness is dangerous because depending on how we deal with the gap, it could be a small one or it could be a big one. Depending on how you deal with that is important because if we get stuck in offendedness, we get caught in a trap. The big idea in the message, the enemy of your soul wants to keep you trapped. And this is our trap up front. And as I've shared before, an animal or a critter could go in from either side. And on the tray, you put peanut butter or something that's tasty. And when the animal puts its paw on the trap, here's what happens. Both sides come down and the critter is trapped. Each of us have a trap inside us. We may not think of it that way. And there's a tray. It's our heart. And when offendedness is somehow put on the tray and we hang on to it, we trigger the trap and we get imprisoned. Now, the enemy of your soul wants to keep you inside the trap. That's half of the big idea. On the second half is this: Jesus wants to free your heart from anything which restricts the flow of his love. He wants you and me out of the trap. He wants our hearts free. He wants us to have a sense of liberty inside us. So offendedness is bait, the bait of Satan. Today is part three. This is my favorite message of all three. And we're going to talk today about forgiving yourself. Now, we've learned that you can get offended in different categories or ways. Let me do a quick review. You can be offended at God. He may have let you down. He didn't come through. He didn't answer your prayer. And last week I shared about a guy who was involved with the church, became an atheist because his daughter was killed at a young age, and somehow he didn't deal with that properly. And when we talked a few years back, he said he was an atheist. You can be angry with God. You can be angry with other people. This is horizontal. This is when someone in your life, you had an expectation, and they came in down here, and this gap lodged in your heart. It's called hurt, pain, disappointment, unfairness. And we can get caught in the trap. There's a third category. It's not when you're offended at God. You're not offended with somebody else. You're offended with yourself. This is an inside job. Nobody else is involved. And here's how it works. You make a big, fat, juicy mistake. Something you regret, a decision. Could be a relationship. Something didn't work out. And there's deep woundedness inside. And you become angry. Not at the other person, not at God, but with yourself. And all of a sudden, offendedness is turned inward. And you and I can end up in the trap of being offended toward ourselves, which blocks the flow of Christ's love in us and through us. I read a story just yesterday of a lady by the name of Teresa. She lived in Scotland. And she said she was a partier, and she terminated a pregnancy. Afterwards, she said she knew it just wasn't right. She wasn't even a believer. She said she just didn't feel right. Time went on. She had a boyfriend by the name of Ken for about 10 years. He wanted to go to church. She wasn't too excited about it, but she did it to pacify him. She went to church. She heard a message on forgiveness. Got her attention. She kept going to church. And she realized as she journeyed forward this, she could not forgive herself. She just knew it. She was in the trap toward herself. She just knew it. And she continued to go to church. She heard a message one day. She responded to it, and here's what happened. God met her, and he forgave her, and she forgave herself, and she got out of the trap. Here's what she said. She said she felt a weight lift off her. She was free. She, grace and forgiveness entered into her own heart. And a big part of it, listen, was forgiving herself. Here's a couple verses I'm going to put up at the beginning of this message. Here's the first one. Love your neighbor as yourself. The first three words we get. I'm not supposed to be mad at my neighbor. But look at the last two. What are they? As yourself. We don't focus on that a lot, but Jesus said, love God first. Love your neighbor as yourself. We're talking about, do you love yourself this morning? Now, here's another verse. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. So, the love that Jesus received from the Father is the same love he has for us. Now, listen closely. If you are offended at yourself and you have a grudge, resentment, anger toward yourself, listen. It will be directly related to you to obey the command when Jesus says you're to love yourself. We're going to talk about that in the remainder of the message. If you are in the trap, you've forgiven other people, you don't have anything against God, but you're mad at yourself, you're in the trap because you and I haven't dealt with the issues that keep us confined there. Now, I'll just be blunt, honest with you. I love this message because I have had to deal with it myself. I'm going to talk about three things that keep us in the trap, and I've lived all of them. There's more, but the three biggies I'm going to talk to in just a little bit, I'll share them with you. But the point is this. Today we're talking about being able to forgive yourself, forgiving yourself. Now, I'm going to start with a picture. I'll have Jake put it up. This is from Florida. A family by the name of, I think they lived in Windermere. Let's see. Yeah, Windermere, Florida. The Lambro family woke up one morning and they found this in their backyard. It's a sinkhole. Sinkholes form two ways. Can be man-made or it can be natural. Man-made, what does that mean? There's like a water main or a water line underneath the ground. It springs a leak, and all of a sudden the water starts eroding the structure of the soil above it, and a sinkhole results. The other way is natural, and in Florida they have these things. They have a lot of limestone. Here's what happens. Water somehow goes underneath, and it starts to dissolve the limestone, and all of a sudden it collapses, and there's a sinkhole. They can be small, or they can be big. Okay, you and I have sinkholes in our lives. You know what a sinkhole does? It gobbles up everything in its way. It consumes our energy, does it not? I mean, it just gobbles. I've got a hurt, a pain, a wound in my life. And when I think about it, it just drains me of energy. It's a sinkhole. I'll call it that. We all have them, including myself. And I want to talk about three sinkholes. I want you to find yourself this morning. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Be able to name your sinkhole. What is it you're dealing with that's got you stuck in the trap? There's something that just sucks the energy right out of you. Because of something in the past. It relates to, listen, being able to forgive and love yourself. So, let's get started. In your notes, Know your sinkholes. Number one, here it is. The first one I want to talk about is this. Severe self-judgment. Read with me the verse in your notes, Lamentations 3:40. Let us examine and probe our ways, and let us return to the Lord. Now, everybody here understands that when we follow Christ, we need to examine our life. Where are we missing the mark, or where are we doing well? It's called examine your ways. We get that. What I'm talking about here is an extreme or severe sense of examination. It's called self-judgment. Here's the short version. It's when you are harder on yourself than you are with somebody else. And you judge yourself. Now, here's the deal. You make a big mistake in your life, let me tell you, if you have that personality trait, you are going to self-judge yourself very severely. Here's a quote. I'll Jake put it up. Some days, I am my worst enemy. We all get that. You know what it is? Hey, you need to examine your life. We all need to do that. But severe self-judgment is a sinkhole that robs us of energy and keeps us in the trap. We're hard on ourselves. We're going to talk about how to get out in a little bit. All right, so number one, sinkhole one, severe self-judgment. Number two, self-rejection. Self-rejection. Read me the verse there in your notes. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order that to bring praise to God. So here's the deal. We are to accept each other, listen, which means you should accept yourself. But here's what happens. If you have a nice big mistake in your past that you regret, a relationship issue, it could be something that happened 5 years ago or 25 years ago, and it's a sinkhole, it's called self-rejection. You know what that means? This part of your life is pretty good, but there's a piece of the pie inside your soul called you have rejected yourself. You know why? You are mad at yourself. You are angry with yourself. You are disappointed with yourself. All because something happened. I got offended at myself. You know what happens with self-rejection? It can lead to an emotional break. It can lead to emotional stress or fracturedness within our spirits. I mean, we all have been there. I've lived that. I mean, the sense of when I self-reject myself, I'm disappointed in Larry. And it's a sinkhole, and unless I deal with it properly and I keep journeying through life, it sucks energy out of me. Okay, here's a quote. You may not be able to read it, so let me read it. The greatest enemy of the spiritual life, rejection is the greatest energy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us the beloved. Now, here's what happens. If you and I self-reject ourselves severely, and God's word comes along and says, hey, I call you my beloved, be tender toward yourself, love yourself, care for yourself, there's a collision. And there's two voices, and the question is, which one do I believe more? Do I believe the voice of my own head, which says, you blew it, Larry, really stupid, or do I believe the voice of God's word that says, hey, come to me, I will accept you, accept yourself. So there's this collision between the two voices. All right. Number three. The third sinkhole I want to talk about is this. It's called self-disqualification. I think everybody here can relate to this. You did something wrong, and you just feel like you blew it, and you are not qualified, or you've disqualified yourself of God using you in the future. Maybe not totally, but partially. You say, wow, I crossed that line, I did that, and I feel I'm self-disqualifying myself from future blessings. You know what happens? We're in the trap. God says he'll forgive. We need to forgive ourselves. But we get stuck in this thing called self-disqualification. Read with me John 13 in your notes. "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." So even Peter pushed back. He said, "Jesus, don't wash my feet." He was rejecting himself. He was self-disqualifying. Say, "God, I'm not worthy." Backside of the sermon listening guide. Read that with me. Luke 3. "When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man.'" So Peter, on different occasions, literally self-rejected or self-disqualified himself in the presence of Christ because of who he was on the inside. So here's a quote. Don't disqualify yourself. I want to stop right here. Ask yourself this question. Have you disqualified yourself in some area because of something you've done in the past? And you say, "God, it is so bad. I feel so crummy. I feel guilty. I feel ashamed." And you just say, like, "You know, God, it's, I know it's beyond use, therefore I just push back from it." You know what we do? We run from grace because of self-disqualification rather than running to grace so that we can find the covering of Christ to bring healing. So we find here that if it's severe self-judgment, we end up in a self-imprisonment. If it's self-rejection, hey, there's a part of us we just don't like, and we don't even want to give it to God because it's so bad. And then lastly, you know, self-disqualification. We throw ourselves away. I have to say this. There's real guilt and false guilt. Real guilt is when I have a part of it and I blew it. False guilt is when I take responsibility for what somebody else did to me, and it's a false guilt. But here's the point. Regardless if it's real or it's false, the grace of Christ wants to get you out of the trap. He wants to free us. He wants to liberate us on the inside. So these are three sinkholes. And if you have this kind of a sinkhole in your life, and I deal with these in mine, I've come a long way through the years. I still got a ways to go. But if you got a sinkhole in your life in one of these three areas, I can tell you about it. You know what it does? It sucks energy. It just bleeds a person. And the good news is this. God has an answer for it, to bring hope and healing to us so that we can feel better about ourselves. But dealing with offendedness towards self is very, very important for healing and hope going forward. So those are the three sinkholes. All right, I'm going to shift gears now. I want to talk about forgiving yourself. Now, I'm going to have Jake put a verse up. It's also in your notes. Let's read it. "I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." So here's what Jesus is saying. The love the Father has given to him, that same love is passed on to us. He says, "I want that same love to be in them that's in me." That's you and me. Now, here's why that's so important. If you and I understand that love from God, it empowers us to forgive ourselves. If we push away from this love or understanding it, can I tell you, your sinkhole is going to continue to exist. But if you find out or figure out how this love can help you, it can set you free. So here's what I want to do. I want to share with you three thoughts of how to help forgive yourself. Now, I'll just say this. I want you to leave here thinking differently about your own sense of offendedness toward yourself. That's my goal for the message. I want to push you in a way that maybe you hadn't thought about before, so that when you leave here, you can say, you know what? Maybe I need to let up on myself to forgive myself. Let's get started. Number one. The first truth is this: if yourself is the enemy, Jesus said to love your enemies. Read with me Matthew 5:43 in your notes. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We've heard this before, love your enemies. When I first heard somebody say this, here's the application part. I never viewed myself as the enemy. It was somebody else. But in fact, I was the enemy. It wasn't anybody else. It was me. And Jesus said, love your enemies. It wasn't an option. It's not a choice. It's a command. Love your enemies. What if you are the enemy of your life? What's that mean? You are supposed to love yourself. What does that mean? If you have sinkholes that are robbing you of energy, Jesus is calling us out to say, wait a minute, I've got a fix for you. But understand, if you're supposed to love your enemies out there and you are the enemy, hey, you need to love yourself. And so here's a quote. Stop yourself from stopping yourself. Now, I hope this hits you if you're dealing with a sinkhole in which you have strong emotional stronghold against yourself, and you say, you know, I just blew it, I feel crummy about it, it's just the way it is in life. Let me tell you, Christ is calling you today to stop yourself from stopping yourself. You don't have to be severe self-judgment the rest of your life. You got to deal with it, learn from it, but you learn to let it go. You learn to apply His love to you. So if you're here today and your enemy is not out there, it's inside you. Jesus said you're supposed to love that enemy, and that means you need to love yourself. All right, number two. The second thought is this: love yourself like you love others. Simple thought. Let's read together Deuteronomy 25. Do not have two differing weights in your bag. One heavy, one light. Do not have two differing measures in your house. One large, one small. You must have accurate and honest weights and measures so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. For the Lord your God detests anyone who does these things, anyone who deals dishonestly. So here's what it's saying. In the Old Testament, when they sold grain, they would have scales to weigh it out for the sale. And the writer here says, do not have two different sets of scales in your house. You're just selling it to this person for that, selling it to that. You use a different scale or measuring standard. He says, that's not right. Don't cheat somebody or take advantage of somebody else. Have one scale. When I first realized that I had two different scales in my life, I had one scale toward other people of being willing to forgive generously, quickly, best I could. And it was up here. I had another scale toward myself when it came to loving myself. You know what? It was down here. I had two scales in my life. Maybe you're here today and you have two scales. You're quick to forgive your kids, your husband, your wife, your friends. But when it comes to dealing with your own offendedness toward yourself from a hurt, a wound, a decision from 20 years ago, you have a different scale. And you know what it says at the very last portion of this verse or this passage? The Lord detest people who have different scales. They're supposed to equal each other. If you love other people and you're quick to forgive, that same scale is to be applied to your own life. Jesus said the love that the Father has for him is the same love he wants inside of us. You know what that means? You can't have two scales when it comes to loving other people and or loving yourself. So here's the question. When you think about your sinkholes, whatever they are, what's your scales look like? Are they the same? If they are, that's good. You're just like with yourself, with other people, and you're on par. That's great. My hunch is, there's people sitting here today that have different scales. You know what it is? It's called severe self-judgment. You let somebody else off the hook, but not yourself. This whole thing about self-rejection, you know, you hold it against yourself. You reject yourself. And self-disqualification. One scale's up here, the other's down here. So here's the question you got to ask yourself. Is it all the same? God wants you to love other people like he loves yourself. Be fair. Be generous toward yourself. It's one of the hardest things to do in life is to forgive yourself. And yet Christ says, hey, if he's living inside us, we need to learn to forgive ourselves. Learn the lesson and move forward. If we don't, you know what happens? It becomes a deeper sinkhole that just sucks life out of us. It just pulls down everything in its path. It could be a house, it could be humans, it could be animals. A sinkhole will just grab everything in its pathway. All right. Here's a quote. You can be your own best friend or your own worst enemy. Choose wisely. Let me stop right here. I hope that some of you that are hearing this message leave here thinking differently about yourself. And you say, you know what? I need to move the needle so that I become my own best friend. Not that God, you're saying God will give you a license to do what you want, but you learn in a healthy way to love yourself so you're no longer your worst enemy. It's a choice. It's a decision. All right. So love your enemies. You got to love yourself. Number two, love yourself like you would love others, a same set of scales. And finally, number three, this is a good one. Allow God to heal your sinkholes through the righteousness of Christ. Let me explain this. This is called the Great Exchange. The Great Exchange. Read with me the verse in your notes, 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Okay, here's what it's saying. We bring our sinkholes, you can call it sin, mistakes, bad decisions, hurts, whatever you want to call it. We bring it to him and we exchange. He gives us what's called his righteousness. I'll have Jake put a picture up. When we come to faith in Christ, we receive a covering, a robe. It's his righteousness becomes our righteousness. The only thing we can do is receive it. And so when we receive his righteousness, here's what happens. We let him into our sinkhole. And we let him to begin healing it. His power, his love, we go to work on being not so severe self-judging or self-rejecting or self-disqualification. You get alone in his presence and you say, God, help me to lighten up. I'm not excusing the behavior, but God, I need to learn to love myself better. And I said this earlier. The degree to which you apply his love to your own heart will determine the status of your sinkholes, the degree to which you do it. You got two choices, a voice here, a voice here. Which voice is going to win? And when we believe his grace, his righteousness can become ours by an act of faith, it covers our sinkholes and it goes to work on healing them so what they don't drain energy out of us. It's called forgiveness. It's called grace. It's called healing. And so it's the great exchange. You and I have to do that every day. It's not one and done. We got to do it over and over. So let me just summarize before we wrap up here. Name your sinkhole. Know what it is. Are you severe toward yourself? I mean, really hard on yourself? God may be saying, wait a minute, it may be time to change the way you think about yourself and your past offenses. Maybe it's self-rejection. I believe that when we make a really big mistake, we tend to throw ourselves away. I can't believe I did that. That was stupid. Self-rejection. Jesus said, hey, through my love, you got to learn to accept yourself. And then the third one, self-disqualification. That means I blew it, therefore I'm not eligible for any future blessings. Why? It's called, I disqualified myself. Well, that's true. Maybe you got a nice, big, juicy mistake. But on the other hand, allow grace to heal that sinkhole. So, what if you're the enemy? You got to love yourself. Love your enemies. Jesus said it. You leave here today, and I want you to know, if you're the enemy to yourself, you need to learn to love yourself. That was a command, not an option. Second thing, your set of scales. Ask yourself right now, do I have two sets of scales in my life? I do this towards friends, but down here I'm pretty hard on myself. Then it says the Lord detests that. Isn't that amazing? Get them equal. Love other people, love yourself with the same measure of grace. And lastly, when you understand the great exchange, we bring our sins, mistakes, failures, whatever you want to call it, our hurts to him. We give them to him, and he gives us his righteousness. And you know what that does? It begins to heal the sinkhole. And the more time you give to believing that, the greater your freedom will be, because you are then going to get out of the trap. You know what the big prize is? That when you, the longer you live, you have a degree of freedom inside. If we neglect, listen, if we neglect dealing with offendedness toward self, just because it's hard work and, you know, it's a struggle, we got to deal with it. Here's what happens. We're going to stay right here. We'll stay in the trap. Know that Jesus says, hey, I'm calling you out to a different kind of life, to be free on the inside because of his great love for us. It's so amazing that he wants to set you free of any trap you feel like on the inside. Let's pray. Just take a few moments of silence and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let him show you your heart. Name your sinkhole, identify it, put a label on it. And then go to the other side and say, wait a minute. Confess to God you're against yourself. You're the enemy. And say, God, help me to love me. Examine your scales. Are they the same? Are they different? And then lastly, bring your sinkholes, whatever they are, to the cross, to Christ. Experience the great exchange and just offer your sinkholes to him. God made him who knew no sin that we might become the righteousness of Christ. Bring your sinkholes and let him begin a healing in your work, in your heart, because of his grace. Father, I pray for every person listening online and are here today in this sanctuary, that you'll do a new work of freedom in each of our hearts. That we will choose to be our own best friend rather than our own worst enemy because of something called grace that you've given to us. Paul said in Galatians, he says, I do not set aside the grace of God, but rather he leans into it and takes advantage of it. Take advantage of grace in this moment. Say, God, here's my sinkhole. I receive your righteousness. Bring healing to my life. Father, we're a broken people, and we need your help. We're like Teresa in Scotland. We can't do it ourselves. So I pray that today for each person here and those listening online, you will show us freedom and the pathway to it. It's called loving ourselves through your grace, setting us free. Bring deliverance and hope to every person here today, that they'll view their own lives differently from this point on, because they want to love themselves and deal with their offendedness towards themselves. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.